Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio. Our theme today is taken from a very important question that Jesus put to his disciples, and that question was, "Who do you say I am?" You'll find these words in our Bible reading today. Many people still ponder this question, even today. Who was and who is Jesus? Matt Redman already has his answer in this opening song. He has this to say, "He's the King of my soul." Here it is from his album, Unbroken Praise.
King of my heart, King of my soul, you are the one that I live for. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. King of my heart, King of my soul, I'll make a joyful surrender. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone.
In our gospel reading today, we find that Jesus and his closest disciples have wandered way up north to a place called Caesarea Philippi, which lay at the foot of Mount Hermon. This was a quiet place where Jesus could escape the critics who hounded him, and here he continues to teach his disciples. This place was where the heathen god Baal was once worshipped, as was the Greek god Pan, and it was a sacred place for Romans as well as Greeks, for here was a splendid white marble temple dedicated to Caesar. Statues of gods and goddesses would have stood in the niches dotted around. This spot was also the source of the River Jordan, with torrents of waters cascading over rocks. And it was here that Jesus began to question his disciples. And I'm reading from Mark 8 today, verse 27. On the way, Jesus asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. I've loved this next song for a long time. It's My Jesus, My Saviour, written by Darlene Zeck.
My Jesus, my Saviour, no, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your
day language, I suppose Jesus was really asking his disciples, what's the word on the streets about me? What are people saying? Well, the people the disciples had spoken to had talked of Jesus as some great prophet, the likes of John the Baptist or Elijah. But then Jesus asked them a similar question, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded quick as a flash, you are the Messiah. This theme of a Messiah runs like a golden thread right throughout the Bible from start to finish. He was someone who would come to bless the world and save people from sin and death. Such a Messiah or Saviour, according to the prophets, was to come down through the line of Abraham, but not only through him, but also through Isaac, Jacob, Jesse, and David. And Jesus was born of that line. This coming Messiah, it was said, would be the one perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. He would be a servant, destined to suffer, and would be rejected by those he came to save. He would also be led to his death like a lamb to the slaughter. So said the prophecies. Here from my album Kaleidoscope of Characters is Isaiah's prophecy set to music, to a tune called Cry Baby Bunting. It's a paraphrase of the suffering servant from chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. He grew up like a tender shoot, a root out of dry ground. He had no outward beauty, nothing to keep us bound. He was despised, rejected, and hated such a lot, and no one had respect for him, and we esteemed him not. But he carried all our sorrows, our fears, our doubts, our pain, and then we just ignored him and left him in the rain. Pierced through for all our wickedness, crushed down with all our sin, the punishment that brought us peace was won because of him. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've each gone our own way, our every sin was laid on him, for someone had to pay. He was led away to slaughter, meek and humble like a lamb, and he never said a single word, so innocent yet damned. And though he'd done no violence, no deceit was on his breath, he died beside the wicked and with the rich in death. He was numbered with the sinners, for he bore the sins of men. And he prayed for his abusers. Forgive them, Lord. Amen. My big question this morning is this. Who do we say Jesus was and is? Do we have an opinion at all? Do we even care? Many would say Jesus was just a good man and a great moral teacher. But then why, if he was truly good, would he want to deceive others by making such outrageous claims about himself? For he told the people, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Only God himself was named I Am, so no wonder the crowd picked up stones to throw at him. He even claimed, "The Father and I are one," and "He who believes in me will never die." Why would he say these things if they weren't true? C.S. Lewis, once an unbeliever himself, wrote this. "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse." Then Lewis went on to say, "You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." Let's listen to Jared Cooper singing King of Kings.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. Oh, within me falls at your throne, your majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you.
Even though much historical evidence is there and well attested by non-Christian historians, as well as Christian ones, there are still those who believe Jesus didn't even exist. They discount the evidence, despite the fact that they don't have the slightest problem believing in other characters of that era, such as Julius Caesar, or Aristotle, or Cleopatra, even though far less has been written about them. Some see Jesus merely as a prophet, but even this doesn't hold water in the light of what the ancient prophets had to say about him in the Old Testament, that from Bethlehem would come one whose origin was from of old, from ancient times, and he would be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Matthew quotes Isaiah's words that a virgin would conceive and bear a son who would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. We even have the manner of the death the Messiah would die, foretold in Psalm 22. It says that he would be pierced through his hands and feet, and his clothes would be divided up, and men would cast lots for his garments. And there was no such death at the time it was written. And then what of the circumstances of his birth? Mary was told that she would give birth to the Son of the Most High, and that the Holy One to be born would be the Son of God. Shepherds were told of a Saviour who had been born, who would be Christ the Lord. Wise men came seeking a king. John the Baptist was called to make a highway ready for the Lord to come, and he recognised Jesus when he saw him as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Let's listen to those sentiments in a song sung by Stuart Townend, also written by him and Keith and Kristen Getty, and it's called Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share. So we share. Bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you.
Finally, the disciples and followers of Jesus witnessed themselves great healings at his hands and awesome miracles as he walked on water, calmed storms, and changed water into wine. And they knew he alone held the words of eternal life. So when Peter said to Jesus in this gospel reading today, "You are the Messiah," he had hit the nail on the head. Up to that point, Jesus had not admitted to being the Messiah. But now he tells them all to keep this information to themselves. Jesus then began to teach them that suffering and death was just around the corner for him. So too his rising from the dead. He was trying to prepare them for what was to come. I love this next song, sung by Hillsong. It's called "Either Cornerstone or My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less."
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Come on, every voice.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, we can make strong.
But such a future as this isn't what Peter, or the others for that matter, signed up for. And he protests about Jesus dying, and he tries to help him see sense. But now, through Peter's words of protest, Jesus hears only the voice of the devil taunting him, persuading him that death is surely not the best way forward. There are echoes here of the serpent saying to Eve, "Surely not, you won't die, you'll be like gods." So Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." So then it seems that if we want to become disciples of Jesus, then this is the deal. We must take up the cross and follow him. That would mean in those days being willing to die. That's what it meant to take up one's cross. Jesus did not call his disciples to a life of comfort, ease and respectability. He called his followers to walk a far more difficult road so others might be saved from injustice, oppression and harm, and from sin and death. Here's a lovely Irish blessing to finish with today, a prayer specifically for the road that lies ahead of all of us, and it's sung by Northumbria Community. Thank you so much for listening in today, and may the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, surround you with his presence this week and give you his peace and his healing. May he bless all those you care for and love. Bye for now.
May the rod rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. And